Kilauea volcano shows no sign of stopping its spew of ash and gas. Farmers in the drift of the sulfur dioxide are scrambling to deal with the detrimental effects on their crops. Calvin Sawaki is from the University of Hawaii's College of Tropical Agriculture, and he's been fielding the calls for help from coffee and orchid farmers.
Well, the calls from the farmers have been mostly on, you know, seeing the crop damage and what can they do about it, you know. And so, I've seen some photos that have come into my office on orchids, for example, where the dendrobium orchid plants are just basically burned off by acid rain or SO2 gas or both, where leaves should be nice and yellow and stems, you know, on the orchid plant, on dendrobium orchid, should be nice and green. I mean, to be green, they're actually all yellow, you know, now. An entire crop, pretty much. And burning on the leaves, burning to the flowers. Some of the other crops, papayas and stuff like that, where they just have the tops of the papaya plants that are just gone, burned off by the acid rain. And there's a lot of other, crops that are being grown, veg crops out that side, where leaves are turning brown and getting burned, and also on foliage plants out there, ornamental foliage crops.
So what can farmers do?
Well, you know, if they can, what we suggest, and there's really no, real scientific information out there that shows exactly what to do about it. But when you try to reverse an acid rain type of situation, the thing to do is to look at the possibility of trying to use a bicarbonate to reverse the effect of the acidity to make the acid rain more pH neutral, or, you know, move it away from the acidic side. And so what we suggest people can try is by putting a bicarbonate into their water, like calcium carbonate, or spray a product. Say, for example, there's a product out there, which is a potassium bicarbonate that they can spray on their plants. And hopefully it would help to reverse the acidic effects of the acid rain. However, you know, with the SO2 gas, that presents another challenge, another problem, in that once the sulfur dioxide gets into the stomates or the openings of the leaves, what's going to happen is that the mesophyll layers in there, the SO2 will contact that, which are moisture, holding cells and things like that, and it'll turn to sulfuric acid within the leaf, and so it can cause burning as the SO2 gas gets inside. So it's kind of a double whammy, I guess, where you have acid rain falling on the leaves, and you also have the SO2 gas getting into the leaves through their stomates. And in both cases, it'll cause the same effect. You'll have burning on the leaves.
I've seen some of the aerial photos, and what was green and lush is really black.
Yes. And I saw those aerial photos also, and the change of where, a region was green, and then you see it now, where it's turning brown and black. Those symptoms are very typical of what we saw back in 2008 when Halemaumau had started, releasing a lot of volcanic emissions. And the communities downwind saw their vegetation basically turn brown right in front of their eyes. With the Vog itself, it doesn't take a lot of high concentration of SO2 necessarily to cause plant damage. We've seen what we think runs anywhere from 2 to 4 parts per million, and exposure at 30 minutes time could start to cause burning on those plants that are sensitive. And a lot of plants are sensitive. In CTAR, in our college, we had done a publication back in 2008 that shows volcanic emissions injury to plant foliage. And in that, we show a lot of different plant species that have been affected by this SO2 gas. And so, everything from flowers and ornamentals to fruit and nut crops to a lot of our native plants that are there in our forests have been affected by it. Vegetable crops, grasses, a wide variety of plants.
How does coffee fare?
Coffee did pretty well, actually, from what we saw at that time, at the SO2 levels that were coming in at that time. And we observed, other crops getting damaged, but coffee seemed to do pretty well with the SO2. And also tea, the drinking kind of tea, also did pretty well. It stood up pretty well against the SO2 levels that were there present in 2008.
So if the crops right now on the ground are affected, the leaves are burned, does that mean the plants are just useless after that, or is there a chance they could recover and rebound?
Some plants, there's a chance. You know, for example, the proteas that were affected in 2008, although the plants looked pretty much dead because the whole plant looked brown, some of the plants were able to recover after the SO2 emissions had stopped. So there is some chance that some of the plants, if they're well-rooted, some of these trees and others, they may be able to come back again. Some of the more sensitive herbaceous plants perhaps may not, but I think there is a chance for some of those that are deeply rooted, that are more woody-type plants. They may lose leaves and stuff, but I think that they have a chance to recover.
What about the pasture lands? Because we did talk with a veterinarian who walked us through the evacuations of the cattle and the logistic challenges with that. But what about their return to the ranch lands down there?
So a concern for the livestock producers, or for those that many of the livestock are range, grass-fed beef, for example. There is a possibility of fluorine that comes out as the emission from the volcanic activity. Fluorine to get onto forage crops, onto the grasses, and if the animals start to ingest a large amount, it could cause problems for livestock. So that is a potential problem. Even after the air clears, and they start moving livestock back onto the ranches, one thing they'd have to do, and we suggest that they do some tissue and soil sampling. And, for testing for especially some of the heavy metals and for fluorine that would go into the crops. So our college will do testing of heavy metals, and we can provide those kind of services for the different growers and for the ranchers. And so what I would suggest is that if anyone has a need for that kind of service, to contact our offices on the Big Island and find out about the testing service and what we can provide. So, normally we charge for our costs or for our services. There is a cost, but in this case, under this emergency situation, we're going to be temporarily waiving the cost for those that are affected by volcanic activity.
And recently we had the disaster declaration for agriculture properties on Kauai. What do you suggest that farmers do on the Big Island?
Sure. Farmers can contact the Farm Service Agency. That's part of the United States Department of Ag program, where the Farm Service Agency provides a number of crop insurance programs for those farmers that get impacted by this kind of natural disaster. And so by contacting that office, the Farm Service Agency office, for those on the Big Island, that would be in Hilo, of course, and they'd be able to go out and they can do, the assessment of the damage and start to collect this kind of information and hopefully provide some funding assistance down the road.
Okay. Anything else you think is important to stress?
Just basically, pay attention to the different information that's coming out, because there's a lot of information now that's going out, I see, on the Internet from many different agencies, Department of Health, Department of Agriculture, our college, CTAR. We put up on CTAR a website to help those affected by this volcanic emissions.
That was Kelvin Siwaki from the University of Hawaii College of Tropical Agriculture. You can find links to information dealing with the impacts for farm crops, livestock, and wildlife. Check our webpage at hawaiipublicradio.org.